Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee in this evening hour, after a busy day, to devote this time unto thee and to thy worship. And we pray that our souls might be awakened, enlightened, enlivened, and active in response to thy word, that we might draw close unto thee in faith, and that our lives might be molded into that perfect image, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We love thee, and we desire to gladly give thee our hearts and our attention. Teach us, feed us, and lead us in the way of life everlasting. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to read from the Old Testament book of Kings, 1 Kings, chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now, by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.
Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, how thankful we are, Lord, that we who find ourselves so often as a widow woman, Lord, with so little resources of ourselves, that thou dost come down and thou dost feed us and thou dost care for us and thou dost love us and thou dost supply our every need. So thankful we are that we can call thee our Father and that thou dost provide for us in such an abundant measure. Blessed be thy name. Father, we lift up thy name and we glorify thee as the one true God who has come to give us an abundant life, Lord, and we know that with thee are true riches and everlasting riches that will never fail. And so, Father, we just pray thee that thou wouldst watch over our souls and that thou wouldst keep us from evil and that thou wouldst grant unto us that we might live lives that are sanctified, godly, well-pleasing in thy sight, always trusting in thee that when times are good and then when times are such as it was in this time of famine, Father, that we would be found to trust in thee. Help us, Lord, that we would have a faithful spirit, that come what may, we would cry out to thee, that we would trust in thee, that we would bring our petition before thee, Lord, and know that thou wilt supply in thine own way and in thine time. And so, Father, help us, Lord, that we might live this life, that we would place our care in our whole being into thy hands and know that thou wilt supply for us each and every one. Again, so thankful we are, Lord, as we can see over and over throughout history, throughout all time, Lord, that thou hast been found faithful and thou hast provided when thy people turned their hearts to thee and trusted in thee. And so, Father, in this evening hour, as thy word would go forth, Lord, we would trust in thee and we would ask thee that thou wilt bless the message that would go forth. May we have soft hearts, Father, hearts that would be molded and changed by thy word, not hearts that are hardened and no longer will be molded to thine image, Father, but that we would be soft and hear what thy spirit would speak to us and that we would adjust our lives, Lord, and according to thy will and according to the Spirit's guiding. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant unto this congregation, Lord, a rich measure of thy spirit, that we might feel thy presence, and that we would know, Lord, and have this assurance that we are walking in the truth, that we are walking according to thy ways, that we place thy word first and foremost in our lives, that we look to the light of Jesus Christ, and that we speak of him, and that we love him, and all that we say and do reflects that Jesus Christ abides in us and is alive within us. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, for those who are not here, likewise, Lord, that thou provide for each and everyone's need, as only thou canst do. Father, we are a needy people, and we pray as the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray, that thou wouldst in this day give us our daily bread. And so we just would pray this, Lord, that thou would supply that which is needful to each and every one of us, a message of truth, a message that we can take with us, a message of refreshing, that we can be sustained and renewed in the Spirit. Father, for our youth and others who have not yet come to thee, Lord, may they find this refreshment in thee. May they find, Lord, that in thee is the abundant life. Father, we know that thou wouldst bring us to a blessed end when we yield our all unto thee, when we deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow thee. May the name of Jesus Christ in this evening hour be lifted up, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
It is encouraging to know that many pray for a blessing upon the word, that many are eager to come to the house of the Lord to hear scriptures, to fellowship with one another, to support one another. It's encouraging to see young men come even halfway. It's a blessing. That's what this scripture is for. It's for our encouragement in our faith. It's to give us courage to live by faith. Reminded of the scripture that says that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us cast off the weights and sins that so easily beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have a race to run with patience. A race of faith. And this witness of Elijah and the faith that he had in God stands as a testimony to us of God's faithfulness so that we can look to the Lord and receive strength. No doubt it took a lot of courage to make the bold claim that Elijah does here, that it won't rain until he says the word as directed by the Lord. This was a place and a kingdom whose economy was going well, and the rain was an integral part of that. And when you touch the world's pocketbook, because of faith, repercussions will come. And so we need to stand fast and encourage, despite what the world might do, but despite how the world scoffs at the bold claims of Christianity. And what Christ said about his own resurrection, that Christ said he was the Son of God, that Christ said that he is the only way unto God the Father, and that through him we might be able to inherit eternal life, that we, after this life is over, might receive a new body, and we might receive the word, "See, thy Son liveth." Those who pass away in faith, they will live again. That's our faith, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. The world may scoff, and it may cost us certain things, certain comforts, but there is a blessing that this world could never take away. Our hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet, there's a race to be run. We're not done. We need to persevere. Elijah, after making these bold claims, these bold promises, is told by the Lord, "You need to get out of there. It would no longer be a safe place. Believers and prophets would be persecuted. And the Lord had some lessons to teach Elijah. He sent him to the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And he prepared the brook, flowing stream to provide him water and a unique source of food delivery from the ravens that would bring him bread and flesh, bread and meat. And God sustained him there. God sustains us where we are. Through the Word, through Jesus Christ, the bread from heaven, the living waters that come from Him, He sustains us. But we learn a lesson here. God provided the blessing of water and the blessing of the food. But the gifts and the blessings were not where Elijah was to place his trust. As we see that the river dries up. When things are nice and good and going their easy ways, when it seems like the blessings are full and abundant, it's easy for our hearts to trust in them. But when the river dries up, and the thing that we had confidence in that was so reliable in the past, we look at it and it dwindles slowly, ebbing away to a dry river bottom. That's a little bit of a crisis. What do we do now? What do we do when, as we get older, the strength that seemed to be so quick to muster up begins to fail us? As physical beauty is vanity, as riches get themselves wings and fly away, what about inspiration? Were there better times? Were there more interesting times? What about joy? What about love? They seem to come so easy at one time, but barely is a trickle now. Need to remember to take the eyes off the gift and look to the giver. Look to the Lord. When things and supplies fail us, the Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our hope and our help. I believe that's what God would have for Elijah to learn and for us to learn in this experience. I don't believe it was without purpose. And I don't believe it's mentioned simply to state the account. But there is a lesson. There is a good purpose. A purpose of molding that the potter has on the clay. Just like for us. Do you know that dry riverbed? Have you been disappointed? Have you been frustrated? Or sorrowful, that something you had counted on did not pan out? There is a message for you and for me who know that place, who can picture that river going dry. Whatever it is for you, and learn the lesson of faith. Learn the lesson. Where does Elijah go from here? The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath." There's another place of God's provision where the Lord would provide for Elijah. We know that the Jordan River is kind of in the middle of Israel. But Zarephath, it says it's in Zidon. That's north and west towards the Mediterranean Sea. How do you get there from the middle to the northwest? You have to walk through Israel. You have to walk past Samaria where King Ahab is and all the people that are trying to capture you because you are the problem causing the rain to stop. So, what is going through your mind as you hear this command? Do you tend to say, Lord, this is the guidance that you've given, and I thank thee for all that thou hast provided for me, the blessings. You've been faithful. And you know what? I'm going to follow you. Or do you tend to say, what's going on? I trusted you, God, for providing for my needs, and now the river's gone. Why should I go any further? I'm sure Satan would like to provide those excuses to each of us. When going gets tough and when things get difficult, when it becomes a burden to serve, when it becomes hard and we face resistance. But faith will conquer if we allow it. He arose. He listened. And it doesn't seem like this is a good plan. I mean, this is, he's going through Israel where King Ahab is, not a friend. He's going to Zidon. To those who were not worshipers of the Lord. He's going to a widow. How will she provide for him? Widows would probably be the poorest to do that. But it says that I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. And Elijah believes the Lord. Elijah does not doubt. He goes to Zarephath. He comes to the city and he sees a widow. He asks the widow for a cup of water. And she's willing. She goes to get the cup of water. Then he asks for some bread. And remember, this is the widow that God commanded to sustain him. But she says, I don't have any bread to give you. I'm just going to share this handful of meal and a little bit of oil with my son, and we're going to die. And that's all we have. Jesus said that there were many widows in Israel at the time of this journey that Elijah took. I wonder how many rich widows he passed. And then he goes to this one in a foreign land who has nothing. Does he scratch his head and wonder how God is going to do anything with this situation? It's somewhat beyond reason. And this woman doesn't seem to know that God commanded her. We don't see any evidence of that in her response. She didn't call out to Elijah and say, hey, you know what, God spoke to me. I saw a vision. I know I'm supposed to provide for you. Come on over here. I'm the one because God commanded me. Is that how God always speaks? God has given us commands on how to treat our neighbor, how to relate to God. How do we know that we've been the one that's been given a responsibility, that's been given a task? Let's follow through. Elijah promises and speaks the word of the Lord to her and says that the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Did God just use Elijah to let her know? Didn't Jesus give the bread and the fish to the disciples to pass out to the people? He wants to use us. And so the message goes forth. She hears it. She hears the word. But how do you know, Elijah, are you sure this is the one? There's no evidence. But faith is there. There's no evidence until she goes into the kitchen. And Elijah's standing outside waiting. How long does he wait? How long does it take to start a fire, to get the meal prepared? what's going to happen? We know because we read the end of the story, but like our lives play out, Elijah's life is playing out, and he's waiting patiently to see what's the evidence of God's command to this woman. It wasn't until she came out of the kitchen with a cake in her hand for him. Now we know. What happened in that kitchen? What changed? It became a very special place where the Word of God came to a heart and faith brought obedience. It didn't happen in a temple. It didn't happen at a site of a miraculous event that was publicized. It happened in a kitchen. What do you think about your kitchen? You think of a pile of dishes that needs to get done? A place where a lot of activity happens? A place maybe where conversations take place? A place maybe where kids learn about measuring, about heat and cooking, where they spend time with their parents? Is that the place where Deuteronomy 6 gets fulfilled? When we sit down and when we rise up? Kitchen became a sacred place, not because it was a special place, but she could do some thinking there. Where do you spend time? Where do you think about the commands of God? And give them deep consideration such that faith brings about obedience. It could be a very simple place. It doesn't have to be fancy. There are a lot of special things that happen in kitchens. We know that many sisters are so talented at putting together a dish that tastes so good and we enjoy it. It gives us opportunity to have fellowship with one another. And there's nothing less, but I mean, there's food on that plate, but you know that there's love on that plate that gets shared and gets taken in, it gets experienced. There's time that gets spent around the kitchen table. Not in vain. It's not just a physical place, although there's a lot of physical things that happen. But it can be a place that we can enter and ask the Lord to sanctify the work that goes on there and bless it. Because the kitchen of this widow became a place for a daily miracle. It became a place for the increasing and the development of faith. Our homes need to be that. We need to set the time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, to meditate somewhere, to share with our families, to share with someone the works of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Maybe to open the word with our children and help them to memorize a passage of scripture each week. The word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And we want our children, we want each of you young people, to know a life of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by sharing the word with you, by praying for you, we hope and pray that that experience would also have an impact on your life. You know, when we as parents take time with our kids and spend just a moment letting them know how special they are to us, how much they mean to us, how much they are loved and cared for, a miracle can take place in their minds. When they learn and know what it is to receive the love of a man who's willing to sacrifice for his family, so they can understand how to be a man of their own family. They see the example, and they know that they don't need to go anywhere else to receive that kind of love, to receive that kind of safety for confession, for asking questions. It's a place of fellowship, and it's a place where hearts can be changed as the word is brought to life in our conversations and in our time that we spend with one another. The woman goes to the pot, to the barrel of meal, reaches her hand in. She knew what to expect that first time she reached her hand in there. What do you think was going through her mind the second time? What was she looking for? What was she expecting? God had promised that that meal would not waste, that there would be enough for them the next day. I like this image, this imagery that's used of reaching into the barrel. You see that when we ask of the Lord in faith, we are doing the same thing. What is it that you look for when you pray to God and you ask Him for something? What is it that you need? And you reach in, you ask. You look for wisdom? The Word of God has a promise for wisdom. To ask of God, who gives liberally, He does not upbraid, He does not turn away, but to ask in faith for wisdom. We need guidance and direction. And Jesus promised that when we ask of the Lord for the measure of the Holy Spirit, that He will give it to us. He knows that we need the guidance, the comfort of the Holy Spirit in our lives. At times we need deliverance, and the Word promises that there will be a way of escape that's provided when we face an hour of temptation. Is that what you reach into the pot for? It would be interesting to have a barrel like this, wouldn't it? Anytime you go, you can pull some meal out. To have an abundant supply. I believe this barrel is an example, it's a foreshadowing of a more abundant supply. The point of why we come together, the point of what the scriptures are all about and pointing to, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The word in the New Testament teaches us in Philippians chapter 4 that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Where is your barrel? What is your trust? Where do you go for supply? The Word says, God will supply all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Didn't we not sing at the beginning of this service, this hope I ascribe, dear Savior, to thy resurrection blessed, and for thy life is mine forever, and thy rest, Lord, is my rest. Thine own triumph mine shall be. All I own, I have from thee. Peter tells us. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The Lord will provide us all that we have need for a meaningful, a productive life in the kingdom of God. For godliness, all of the strength that we have need is to be found in Jesus Christ. And so it's a journey of faith that Elijah is taking. And he's showing us along the way, as God is leading him, he's showing us lessons to trust in the Lord and not in the things that we have. And not to doubt his word. To take time and allow the word to rest and to settle in our minds. To have that quiet time of meditation. But most of all, that we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who supplies all our needs. And when we look to him, we'll never be disappointed. The world scoffs at that. Skeptics, all of the things that you can read and look at, seems to draw away from that central truth. The question is, do you believe? And there is power and faith in Jesus Christ. It's my prayer, and I believe for all of us, that we would have that power, that we would rise up and completely throw off all those bonds of vanity and trust the provision of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
What a beautiful message that we've heard this evening hour. Truly, it grounds us. It grounds us from thinking that we can do something of our own, and we need to be reminded that we can do nothing without the Lord. Without him, we can do nothing. Our reliance is upon him and upon him for everything. Last Sunday afternoon, we read where Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, neither what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them." God feedeth them. Jesus told the people of this time, take no thought for your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. And here God was saying the same thing to Elijah and to the widow. Take no thought for your life, nor what you shall eat. It's God that feeds them and that feeds us. As we pray together, we're well aware of it. We live in a prosperous nation in a very prosperous time, like never before. We can't trust in that. That can be gone very, very quickly. We trust in God. And so we have had a message this evening that our trust and our reliance is only upon God. In Lamentations, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." It's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions will never fail. It says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." The faithfulness of God. It was there in the time of Elijah and the widow. It was there in a time of Christ where he was telling them not to take thought for their life. And it's here for us today. That his faithfulness is great. And it is in his faithfulness that we trust in and have confidence in. King David had lived a long life and had experienced many things in his life. And he writes in Psalms, and he said, "I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, neither his seed begging bread." Great is God's faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. He will provide. Ours is to have faith in him. Amen.